Welcome, everybody, to a late episode of Metal Freedom. I'm your host, Jay Hill. It's been a while since I've been here. Been having a few things going on, so I am trying to jump back into the swing of things. And we have a very special guest tonight, a couple members from Thorns. If you like thrash metal in general, I mean, I grew up on it when I was younger. Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, all that stuff. If you dig that kind of music still, then these guys are it. I discovered them on TikTok and I thought that they were fantastic. So, without further ado, let's get them on here. What's up, gentlemen?
Well, how's it going?
What's going? How are you?
We're great.
Good.
Absolutely great.
You know, I really appreciate you guys coming on, too. I've been trying to get some other bands that have your kind of the genre of metal and thrash. And sometimes it's just hard to get a hold of these guys. So when you guys replied back to me, I was really excited. And I'm so glad that you're here. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves to my audience and tell everybody who you are and what you're doing.
Well, so we're Thorns, you know, and we don't like to say we're necessarily thrash metal, but we play a lot of, you know, we're metal. Essentially, we call ourselves heavy metal because we play a lot of different stuff. If you listen to some of our records, we have more elements than just thrash on there. But, you know, we're just trying to take our own spin on some of the stuff that's been done. And especially with this genre, just do our own thing with it and
still keep that old school spirit though.
Right.
Right. Right. Yeah, part of that old school spirit, when I heard Death by Proxy, that's a really good song. I've been kind of listening to that, you know, religiously. And yeah, I mean, I listened to the whole album. 60 Seconds Hum, is that what it's called?
60 Cycle.
60 Cycle, that's what it is. Yeah. Okay, so when I put that on and I was listening to that, and I was just kind of reminded me of when I was, you know, a teenager back in the day. You know, I grew up in the 80s and I listened to all of that stuff. And when I started listening to some of your stuff, it was just kind of, you know, it was refreshing to hear that. You know what I mean? And there are bands nowadays that still do some of that stuff, but you guys are really good. And so I am,
Thank you.
That's in my playlist quite a bit. So, and I'm hoping that other people will kind of, you know, dig it as well as I do. I see you've got quite a few followers on TikTok, as well as the music. It speaks for itself, you know. Where exactly are you guys from?
We're from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually, the original members, we all went to high school together, so we're all, like, right from the same area.
Right on. That's cool. Yeah, growing up, I mean, you guys aren't that old yet, but, I mean, growing up, I mean, what was one of who was one of the main influences that kind of got you into this music?
Well, I mean, for starters, I mean, I can obviously say Metallica, you know, growing up listening to their albums, you know, you, as a kid, you know, you'd hear, especially the Black Album and stuff. But for me, mm-hmm. high school was really where that all started, you know, listening to Ride the Lightning and wow, you know, I never knew that metal could sound like this cool. Cause I wasn't into metal like that. I was listening to like Boston and, you know, Skinner and stuff, which I still
do. Right.
But, you know, Ride the Lightning was the album by them that really got me into it. And then, of course, you know, bands like Black Sabbath and Ozzy as a solo act as well. I mean, my dad had the greatest hits of Ozzy on CD, and I used to sit there as a kid and listen to it on my sister's Hello Kitty radio.
Nice. It's kind of like the classic, like Ozzy, and I mean, even going back to I don't know, I'm sure you've heard Flotsam and Jetsam, in the day, you know, their album in the 90s called Quattro, that was one of my favorites. I mean, and it wasn't necessarily kind of like what their older stuff was, but it was still really good music. And so with you, when did you start playing guitar?
I started when I was 10 years old in fifth grade. My aunt had this crappy white Strat knockoff that I got for Christmas one year. And, you know, I just started playing with it and all that. And
it's video footage of that, right?
Yeah, there is video footage of that.
What were you trying to play? I saw the video when you first got it. Was it Metallica?
No, it was Peter Gunn. Bomb, bomb, nice. Bomb, 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 bomb.
Nice.
I was trying to play that. And, I started guitar at 10 years old, and I had lessons for a little while, and then I kind of quit guitar, and then Metallica brought that right back. Like I said, I mean, I heard Ride the Lightning for the first time, and I picked the guitar right back up after that because I was like, I have to play again because this is just great stuff.
Right, right. So with like Metallica, were you a Megadeth fan too?
Yes, I like Megadeth quite a bit, yeah. Peace Sells, that album
really that has to be the best. Yeah.
I would say that's my personal favorite Megadeth album. I also like Countdown to Extinction as well.
Rust in Peace.
Rust in Peace, yeah.
Rust in Peace was a classic to me back in when I was just finishing my high school years. And that, you know, that album was ground shaking. I mean, that was just I mean, you can't really, if they were to stop right there, that would have been, know what I mean? I mean,
enough. Right. No, yeah.
Right. 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 So what are kind of some of the things that you guys as a band are trying to accomplish that others may not have really accomplished yet?
Like we said before, just kind of the, you know, modern precision, just everything we have in our hands and to our advantage nowadays, mixed with, you know, the stuff we like about old music. You know, all of us, we're really into just anything old, just classic rock, early metal, you know, new wave, British heavy metal, classic thrash metal. I feel like, you know, just mainstream music, a lot of these bands have lost just the art of it, you know. There's still a lot of metal, but it doesn't mean as much, you know, it's all down-tuned. And I think one of the big things for us is not only just these big riffs and catchy songs, but, you know, keeping it simple. I think a lot of people are afraid to do nowadays. You know, trying to write songs that mean something, you know, like Muzzle, for example. Yeah, we're really proud of that.
That's a really good song. I was listening to that yesterday.
You know, we like to
yesterday.
Try to add a little bit of like a real life lesson or just, you know, something cool to it. Give it a little depth.
And even, you know, your solos and even the intros are, that's what catches me is some of your intros are like, what is this? You know, I mean, there's been music, even in the past 10 years, I mean, there's been some good bands, but it kind of seems like some of them kind of miss the mark. You know, they come close, but with you guys, I think that you guys have kind of bypassed them. And I'm not going to name any names, but because I like all kinds of music, but I just think that when you guys kind of came on the scene, it was almost like an awakening. That's just my opinion. I mean, I don't live in Ohio. I mean, I live in Wisconsin. So, but I, you know, I've talked to some people that really like your music. And I think that you guys have something there that is, you know, something special, something that really can kind of bring people together and bring that genre of that old school back, you know, and I never thought it died. I mean,
it never died, but
with the top 50, top 40 music and all that stuff and all the, the R&B and the standard music, and that they kind of just mainstreamed, you know, and it kind of got metal got pushed in the back. But I see it making a resurgence, you know. So
absolutely.
Is there a part of your album that when you were making this album, was there something that you wanted to do different? I mean, was there something in particular that said, hey, let's just be original and just do something specifically different?
I mean, really, if you listened to the first album compared to the second one, I mean, it's stylistically, I mean, it's way different. I mean, everything from the structure of the songs to even the riffs and the vocal, the vocals are different. I mean, we just wanted to, we got a little more technical on it. And if you listen to a song like Return the Favor, there's a little middle section there. It's a little progressive. I mean, there's some progressive riffs in some of these songs that are something we would have never done before.
Right.
I think another thing is with this album, we were trying to, you know, look a little past just the song for the song and really make them fit together. I think like sonically and thematically, all the songs, you know, front to back, really sounds like an album. Some of them, you know, I kind of imagine a world they all exist in, and you know what I mean, within the cover and all that. You know, right. I think that is a big part of it, is trying to create the image of the songs in our head and bring all of that to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that 60 cycle hum, that is a great artwork for that album. I mean, it speaks in so many different ways of people who, like myself, I deal in like paranormal stuff and frequencies and all that stuff. So when I saw that, I was like, that's really cool, you know, and it kind of explores out there. But with an album like that, and even talking about your previous albums, which one would you say that you're more proud of? The last one?
Easily 60 Cycle Hum.
Yeah, okay. Our first album is more of like a demo. You know, we were kind of still learning. Like, I play bass, so I kind of just picked up bass to be in this band, you know, just to make something happen. And we wanted to have our own songs before we started playing shows. So, you know, we just sat down here all summer and we tried to come up with some of our own songs to start with. You know, some of them are better than others, but, you know, we were happy to just have something original to start out with. But this one, just complete different beast, I think.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, I think this one's taken off, actually. Like I said, I've talked to a few people that like it. And actually, you know, now that I think about it, if I go back to my catalog and some of my, I'll date myself and say albums, you know, there are some albums that I couldn't put down. And I would have to say that even this album will eventually get right up there just because of the fact that the sheer repetition of playing, you know what I mean? But that's, to me, that's what we need in the music industry now. We need that the younger generation to step up and say, hey, this stuff is not dead. This stuff can be played, you know, and we can do it better, you know? And I think a lot of it, my friend said to me the other day, he says, there's bands nowadays that put some of these old bands to shame because of the fact of the generation. There's a lot more things that they can do, a lot more things that they've learned, a lot more things, you know, it's just, it's not like the garage band anymore. It's these guys like you yourselves can deliver the goods, and that's the best way to describe it. So, let me ask you this. Let me go back. So talk about the album or the albums that you've made. What are the kind of the price tags on those when that cost you to make those?
$0.
Yeah.
Okay. We do everything ourselves, and
right down here.
Yeah. I mean, we're sitting in where we did the album. So we do everything ourselves here.
Holy crap.
And so I'll tell you a story. So when I first really wanted to do music, this was junior, senior year of high school. I'm like, my basement was unfinished. So I begged my parents to let me build a studio down here. Just a small little one in the corner. I just build a room. And they're like, if you pay for it, we'll let you do it. So I paid for the studio over there in the corner. And I said, you know, we got the band together. And I'm like, all right, guys, you know, let's see what we can do. And, you know, we wrote Sick Fit down here. And then I learned how to do it here because, you know, a lot of these local studios will overcharge you to play at their places, and it's just outrageous, and you're not going to get the sounds that you want. And so I took matters into my own hands and said, you know, we're going to do it here, and we're going to get the sounds that we want. And that's what we did.
Wow. That's incredible. And that goes back to what I was saying. The younger generation have learned more and have some different ideas and can produce a little bit better, and the sound is better. So even when you're not using a major studio or whatnot, which I do agree that it's expensive regardless, you know what I mean? But for you to be able to have the knowledge to be able to do that and to say, you know what, we're going to do it ourselves. I would have never guessed that you've done that album in your basement. Never in a million years. And that itself speaks volumes.
You know, and it's really a passion of mine, recording. I've always loved recording, and to be able to record the band here is just a privilege, I think, because, you know, in the scene here, a lot of these local bands will go to studios, and like I said, they won't get the sounds that they want. They paid, you know, $600 for a couple hours, and they're not going to get what they want. But here we can work on the songs as long, perfect them. Now, as long as we want, just to get that sound that's right. And I think it's important that we'd rather DIY it than go to a studio and waste money. So we can save money and do other things with it, like, you know, merchandise or whatever.
Yeah, and you do have some merchandise, and I did see that, and you've got some really cool shirts and whatnot. And you know, the merchandise is important, you know, especially when a band that's, you know, you've been around for how many few years now?
Yeah, so we started in 2022. Okay. But we really didn't get going until 2024 when we put out the Sick Fit.
Okay.
And that we played our first show in May of 2024.
Right. And how was that? And talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's pretty good. It was a good show. You know, we played in a garage. It was hot as hell. And it was crowded. There's actually quite a good DIY scene here in Cincinnati. It can get crowded at some of these places. And
there was.
I mean,
the place that we played our first show, you know, for a while, that was like our goal. Like, okay, all I want, and I'll be happy when I'm older, is we just make a couple original songs, put them out on the CD, play a local show, like, you know, that's as far as we ever need to get.
But, right.
You know, we were real excited to start playing these shows, and there's this one place that kind of just popped out of nowhere as soon as we popped out of nowhere. They were looking for some small bands to play their first show, so they hooked us up, we played our first show there, we played a few shows there, and then, yeah, it went downhill. That place no longer exists.
But I mean, it was the DIY scene here. We've played in it for, you know, a year or so now, and that was a great. It was really fun to finally, you know, get out of my basement and play an actual show and play our songs.
Mm-hmm. People liked it.
And people liked it. I mean, I think we generated some buzz there, you know. But it was a great show. It was good for a first show.
So do you have any upcoming plans of playing other places or traveling at all?
Oh, absolutely. So later this year, we are going to be heading on a European tour. Well, not European, but a UK tour. Okay. And we're going to be playing, we'll be over there for roughly a month. We're going to be playing a couple festivals like 2000 Trees, Steelhouse over there. And then we'll also be playing, you know, some club shows and some bigger artist support shows. So we'll be supporting some bigger acts over there. So
talk about how that came to work.
That's
so, like you said, You know, we're really lucky that we live in the time that we do to be able to make some shitty music in your garage and post it on TikTok and get people to see it. So, you know, we've had a slow climb upwards. And after we released Muzzle, you know, that was kind of our definitely our best thing to date when we dropped that. And, you know, we started to have a pretty good buzz around that song specifically. And one of our fans, I guess, his dad is like a music manager in the UK. So he showed it to his dad, and his dad thought it was pretty cool and stuff. And then he said when he checked us out later and he realized, you know, we're young and we're doing it all by ourselves in our basement, that he really started to take interest. So, yeah, he reached out to us, and we've been working with, yeah, our manager over in the UK. And now we're starting to get some better connections, you know, get some deals on the table. And, yeah, this tour
coming up. This is where it starts, man. Telling you,
yeah,
you guys got in the door at the right time.
Yeah. It was honestly fate. I don't even know how that even happened, because it's just
this whole band is fate, for real.
Honestly, it was I don't know. It was just so weird to be in the position that we're in right now with how well things are going, especially with Craig, who's the manager. Yeah. But yeah, he just reached out and he was like, you know, I really like you guys. I want to help you out, and you know. We've just been working with them steadily, and, you know, we're going to be over there for a month or longer over there, just playing shows, and then hopefully build up some hype and then come back to the States and join some other tours or something like that. That's really the plan.
Right, right. Yeah, that's something else, man. I mean, congrats on that. And that is,
thank you.
That is fantastic.
You know, yeah, I mean, we're super excited.
All I wanted to do was play in a metal band, and that never worked out, but yeah, you guys are living it, and I think that that's really cool. Now let's talk a little bit about, excuse me, let's talk a little bit about some of the where the songs came from.
Well, on the new album, the first song that I really dabbled in was Muzzle, and I remember it was right after we were firstly about to release Sick Fit. So I had the riff for a while, and I came down to my basement and I was like, I'm going to write the coolest riff of all time. And I sat in there and I wrote the basically the whole song in one sitting, like, and then same thing with the vocal melody. I came up with it fairly quickly. And then, you know, lyrically, Muzzle, Peyton wrote most of that song.
Yeah. I was spending a lot of time at work. I do like painting and stuff. So sometimes, you know, I throw in my AirPods. I have a lot of time to just listen to music, whatever. I think I was watching a bunch of like audiobooks and YouTube videos from like the Gulf War and like
Fallujah. Yeah.
Stuff like that. And just, you know, just some Iraq war stuff, you know.
It's like a soldier's experience, like, you know, what are we doing? Like, what's going on here? You know,
we're just kind of, you know, being a pawn for something that you have no part in. And yeah,
right.
No right. choice.
Right. And, you so know, you could kind of beckon back to when, you know, even, you know, talking about those like war and all that stuff. I mean, go back to Dave Mustaine, you know, talking about.
Right.
You know,
I mean, peace, you know,
peace cells and all
war
that.
War songs,
you know?
are a staple in metal. And, you know, that Muzzle was just our spin on, you know, maybe a more recent encounter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you listen to some of these songs and it's a lot of it is a similar message, you know?
Yeah. I think Death by Proxy is kind of about like Hiroshima, and
that ties into that for sure. That riff was something interesting, because that song was, that's definitely our hardest song. That's the most complex song we've probably written.
For sure.
It was just, we were like, well, we need something fast. So anybody got anything? And, you know, so we just managed to put some stuff together, and I had that little bana 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 na na na. And then,
yeah.
We kind of turned that into the intro, because, you know, the Muzzle intro and that intro were kind of like the same thinking, you know, what's going to grab somebody, you know, like, and even with the Muzzle intro, it was like, well, we need something catchy here or something that's, I didn't have anything to go before the actual full song starts. So that guitar, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that's supposed to be like a gun, like a machine gun.
Oh, okay.
Firing. And
right.
Just something to grab somebody. And you're talking about our intros. I mean, we pride ourselves on making something that people really want to listen to, and especially grabbing somebody from the start of a song. So
that's where it's
at. Songs like Muzzle, Death by Proxy, Headcase, Return the Favor, pretty much all the ones on the new album, there's something that grabs you, like, you know, what's going to come next. So
right. And I think that whole album is kind of a testament to how far you've come in just a short amount of time. You know what I mean? I think that is basically some of those songs, like Death by Proxy. I like that song. And, you know, it's just, they're unique. And I think there's a lot of bands out there nowadays that are trying to find their own uniqueness. And I think you guys have kind of just jumped on it right away. And so having said that, talking about being genuine and uniqueness and all that stuff, what's your guys' home life like?
Yeah, I mean, pretty normal, I guess. We all grew up, like I said, we all pretty much grew up in the same areas. We're just kind of, you know, we all grew up in, you know, not as good areas as we live now, but we just live in normal suburban little town, so, you know, it's pretty boring. I think we've all had big imaginations for a long time, and, you know, just trying to see more in what is around us than the little boring stuff that's actually here. Like, I,
right.
Yeah, in my home life, you know, I just work. I'm the only one who hasn't been in school. Yeah, I've always liked writing essays in high school and stories and stuff since I was a kid. So writing the lyrics and trying to think of something, you know, heavy to write about is really fulfilling for me. And like I said before, I think, you know, a lot of people have kind of forgotten what it means to be heavy. It's not just down-tuned. It's, you know, it's message, right. It's feel, it's just a lot of stuff. But
Right.
Yeah, what about you?
So, I mean, you know, talking about your home lives and this and that, and it's not to get personal, but I just, you know, we kind of wanted to kind of, you know, let people know where you guys came from, you know, and you guys, you know,
sure,
you know, are trying to make it. And I think that you're doing a good job of doing that. And it's just, it's one of the stories that I know that I'm learning from you guys and talking to you is one of the stories that beckons more attention, because there are people out there that are trying to do what you're doing and struggling to do it. You know what I mean? So I just think that it's awesome that you guys are able to pounce on that moment when it kind of, you know, presented itself.
Yeah, we appreciate that. I mean, we're fortunate to have a support system that really supports what we're doing. I mean, all of our parents, I mean, Peyton's parents, my parents, Connor's parents, I mean, they're all supportive of what, you know, we're doing, and, you know, my parents want me to succeed in what we're doing, and my home life is great. I mean, I go to school. They're very supportive of me fulfilling this dream of actually playing, you know, music for a living and making it and getting there and playing songs. And so we're lucky to have that, because, like, I mean, not everybody has that in this situation, and we're fortunate to have people around that want us to succeed.
Right. Support system is really big, especially nowadays, right, where social media has kind of just taken on its own life of its own. You know what I mean? It's like a beast. And I mean, if you can get in the social media aspect of it, and if you've got something that people want to see or hear, like you guys have, then it's a little bit easier. But there are, and you probably know this too, that there's a lot of critics out there, you know, and I'm sure that just like everybody's, you know, you're your own worst critic, you know what I mean? And so it's like, Have you ever, is there a song, do you have songs written for something next, like the next album that's coming up? Have you guys thought ahead that far?
Oh yeah. I mean,
not lyrically, but
riffs. I mean, I'm always coming up with riffs, or Connor always says, "Hey, I got this riff that's cool," or something like that. Right. You know, we always dabble and, you know, hey, you know, Peyton will send me this riff at 12 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
We definitely have some stuff I think we want to touch on too. Some themes that we're going to try to incorporate and stuff, but yeah, I think we need to just, you know, we really believe in just kind of letting things come to us, sitting on them, not forcing them, you know. Usually the first time we try something or do something, it's usually, no matter how many times we try it after that, it's always the first time that it was meant to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we really just like to think on stuff and just try to let it come to us.
When you get inspiration like that, is it something where you sit down and say, oh, hey, I got this for you, listen to this. Do you record it right away so you don't forget it, or you don't, like, what was that riff? I don't remember. I didn't record it. I mean, I've talked to a couple of my friends that have been in bands, and they used to do that all the time where they would say, play this, and they were like, oh, yeah, we'll remember that, and then they don't remember it. You know what I mean? And it's a really good riff. So
so we usually try to. That's not always the case, but, I mean, from my experience, if it was really memorable, I would remember it.
Okay.
That's usually how it works for me. I don't know how it works for Bayon.
I think sometimes you like think of something and it really speaks to you, and then it just kind of leaves your mind for a while. But I feel like for us, it always comes back. Like, you know, when we're sitting there and it's like, man, what can we start this song with? And then all of a sudden it's like, dude, you remember that riff I played 5 months ago? My God. Like, it's the same notes. And so,
yeah.
Then we'll get inspired, and, you know, it'll kind of change everything and make it all one thing. So I think a lot of stuff that we do forget comes back in the best way.
I mean, that's how it was for Headcase. Connor had this riff that I had this one riff, and I'm like, dude, what are we going to do for the intro? And then, you know, I remembered, I'm like, oh my God, Connor, that riff is going to fit perfectly with that. And it slid on like a glove. Like, it was almost too perfect.
Isn't it amazing how sometimes that just works, and you just have to stand there in awe, be like, how did that even come about? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I think that's like what's really good about this band. It feels like a lot of stuff just comes naturally, playing together, and just idea wise, I think it's pretty easy for us to compromise and, you know, work together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me ask you.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So, I mean, we really don't have like band issues. I mean, I know some bands have like problems and like getting along and all that, but like we're very like mellow about stuff, you know. It's you know, we'll play something, did you like that? No, not really. We could do better. And just stuff like that. I mean, we just get along really well. Pretty much everybody. Well, there's none of that.
You know, and I hope and pray that continues on, because that having that family aspect and, you know, that whole closeness and to be where you guys can kind of feed off each other, that's a big deal. You know, there's many bands that haven't been able to do that, you know, and they're just in it for the wrong reasons, you know. And so let me ask you each, what is in your music playlist right now?
I'll go first. I love music, all kinds of music. I collect a lot of records, singles, you know, LPs, whatever. But I'm really into a lot of hardcore punk, post-punk, just pretty much any offshoot of punk. It wasn't up until pretty recently that I, you know, like fully got my feet into the into metal, you know. I've been listening to a lot of new wave British heavy metal and just classic stuff, but I think mainly I really like a lot of like 80s post-punk and just like artsy punk, heavy stuff. And, you know, one thing that really connects us all, I think, is like classic rock. I think my favorite band of all time is probably the Velvet Underground. Lou Reed, I really love. But, you know, the first music me and Luke ever talked about was Lynyrd Skynyrd and, you know, just old stuff like that. You know, we all went to this all-boys Catholic high school, so nobody there listened to anything cool. So as soon as we started talking
you
about
guys
music,
were
and I'm like, oh,
trendsetters.
Yeah.
You guys were trendsetters.
Like, meeting Luke put me onto, you know, a whole other side of music for sure. But, yeah, I'm really into a lot of just classic punk, classic stuff, and a lot of old, like, 60s folk and folk rock and classic rock and stuff.
Nice.
For me right now, I've been listening to a lot of some other metal bands. I've been listening to Nuclear Assault, especially.
Oh, I saw them in concert. That was a good show.
I really like them quite a bit. I like Wake Up off. Mm-hmm. It's just such a good song. But anyway, I've been listening to quite a bit of Megadeth lately. Today, actually, I was just listening to Countdown to Extinction. I love that album. When I listen to music, I don't really listen to playlists. I listen to more album stuff. I'm an album listener,
okay.
Especially. So that album, Peace Sells, especially. Holocaust, me and Peyton share a love of Holocaust, the band.
The band.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think everyone in the band, you know, we just like the classic stuff. Motorhead
for sure.
You know, just old stuff like that. A lot of the lesser known new wave British heavy metal stuff as well. I think
Tigers of Pantang, Bitches Sin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we like to cover some lesser known stuff as well. It's really fun.
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, you got to do covers. I mean, that's just, you know, just that whole paying respect aspect, you know,
for sure.
And you were talking about Nuclear Assault. God, I haven't listened to Nuclear Assault in a while, but I remember back in the 90s when I saw them on Something Wicked and that tour, and it was in a bar, and that was crazy. Those guys were nuts. I saw Overkill there.
Did now, you? Wow, nice.
Yeah, I saw Overkill. That was the first time I crowd surfed. That was crazy. You know,
awesome.
my buddy was with me, and he was crowd surfing. And when they went to throw him to kind of catch him, the crowd dispersed and down he went on the concrete floor. And it was funny because Billy Blitz came out, and when we were out in the hallway, because he was like almost injured, and he come out and he checked on him and asked him if he was okay. And I thought, yeah, I mean, he'll be all right. He's like, yeah, I'm okay. And then so he yells to get your fucking ass back in there. And so it was fun. It was cool. You know, Bobby Blitz was phenomenal, you know. So that was a good show, you know. I mean, so I know, like I said, I'm not trying to do my whole show list, but I'm just saying some of those moments when you
right
see bands like that and that it's that intense, you know. Testament, it's another one. Big, huge tents, you know, intensive. You know what I mean? So I got to meet Chuck Billy. You know, the guy is a huge guy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he shook my hand, and his hand was like twice the size of my hand. I mean, it was just crazy. I mean, I was back in my 20s, you know. But, yeah, so there were bands that, but even back then, you know, have been lately really giving kudos to some of you guys, some of the new bands, you know, that are coming up, and, you know, and they're ones to say some of the bands would be like, gosh, I wish we did that. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you guys are kind of, like I said before, you guys are trendsetters. I mean, you're setting the trend to kind of hold that torch and bring it to the next level. And I think that with your album the way it is, I think that it's just going to get better, you know. And I think your guys' attitude gets, you know, with that is speaking volumes right there. I mean, you guys have positive attitude, and, you know, you love what you do and whatnot, you know. So it's just one of those things where it's a refreshing, I should say, that, you know, bands these days notice it and get it. And I think you guys get it. You know what I mean? So, but tell me a little bit more about your first album or your first demo that you did? We didn't really touch on that
one. Well, the first album was really, it was like, okay, how do we write a song? Right. I mean, and, you know, that album's not really thrash metal. I mean, there's maybe one, two songs, three songs maybe I'd consider thrash on that whole, mm-hmm. maybe four that I'd consider even close. A Bad Business, obviously, being that was a special song. Songs like Bad Business, Master Time, Sick Fit, Torn, Time to Kill. I mean, that was really when we first started to figure out songwriting, and, you know, things just would magically come together. So I'll talk about Bad Business. It's the best example. So we recorded the instrumental and the drums. Well, I'll talk about the drums first. It's a long story, but with the first drummer, he had to go away with college. And at that time, we had only had maybe, I think, four or five songs recorded. And there's six more that we had to do. And I was like, well, fuck, man. You know, we got to do this in like a day. So we did every single six drum tracks in one day. And that was horrible. I don't recommend it. But we did the rest of the songs in one day. And then he left for college. And then that was it. That was his last bit in the band, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah. Oh, I mean, you know, it was either that or wait, you know, 5 months for him to come back. And, you know, at that time.
I mean, he was pretty much the only drummer we knew. He didn't have much experience, but we're just like, man, we need a drummer. Come lay down some tracks so we can get some songs, yeah.
Right. And that, I mean, he was fine for what it was fine for at the time. It was like, we got a drummer, good enough. Right. So we did that. And then, you know, I'd go back through and make sure they were all good. And they, you know, they're all right. Like, the drum tracks really aren't that great on the first album, especially, like, at all.
Side note, we actually are going to re-record about half of the songs, the ones we think are the strongest.
And put that out as the actual Sick Fit. I mean, we've had most of them recorded for a while, like at least the drums, but, you know, we just got to just polish them off, and then they'll be out. It'll be out and replace that, and then we'll re-upload the old album as like a demo on YouTube or something like that. That's besides the point. But anyway, so with Bad Business, it was really cool because we had the instrumental done and we're like, well, this is one of the last ones we got to write lyrics for. How are we going to do this? And, you know, I had no idea what to do. And recently we were like, we got an offer for a show.
Some friends.
Some of our friends, quote unquote. But, and they're like, yeah, you know, we'll pay you guys. And then they basically ghosted us. And we were so mad about it. Yeah, yeah. And then
I hate being ghosted.
And then, you know, we were sitting in Canes and I was like, Peyton, that's just Bad Business, man. You know, like, and then we were like, dude, that's a great title. So then we came back to the studio and wrote it in one sitting. And
wow,
we didn't change a word.
Yeah.
It was just perfect. And
Right.
That consistently, I think, is the best song on that whole album.
Inspiration comes at the weirdest places and times, you know?
Yeah, it was weird. And I'm not saying that album's bad, but man.
We didn't expect it, you know, to get to the level it did, definitely. And, you know, at the time it sounded good to us, but, you know, looking back, yeah, not quite up to our standards. And I think there's some real potential there with a few of the songs, which is why we want to redo them. You know, give them the sound they deserve. But yeah, for the most part, you know, we had no idea that it would go as far as it did, and we didn't expect it to or anything. So, you know, we're happy with that as a start.
Let me ask you, did you have, is your album on a label?
No, we're independent as of now. Okay. I mean, we won't be in probably like a couple weeks. We're signing a distribution deal very soon.
Okay.
We're really excited. it's not a traditional deal in the sense that we're getting an advance, but it's more like they're going to distribute our album and they only take a small percentage of it. So it's something more lucrative to us that we will be able to make money actually of it instead of a traditional deal. So we're super excited about that. But no, they were both independent. We certainly tried to get interest from people, but we usually get ignored back when we first started.
Yeah.
Right. That's usually kind of how it works.
Absolutely.
It's just so many irons in the fire. It's just kind of which ones gets picked, you know, and it is what it is. But no, but kudos to you guys. So, well, I would like you to basically kind of like, you know, tell people where they can find you and listen to you.
So you can find us on, we primarily have Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. Those are our primary, you know, social media platforms. If you want to watch, you know, some live footage and some actual behind the scenes of making of the album and stuff like that, we have some clips up on our YouTube page. And then
if you want merch, we got it on Bandcamp. We have patches, CDs, t-shirts, and I will personally ship each order myself. But we're pretty proud of the shirts and the patches. The new CD is really cool too. We added like a lyric booklet, got like a cool graphic on the CD. But other than that, you know, all the music platforms,
pretty much anyone,
Spotify, YouTube, SoundCloud, whatever.
Yeah, we're on Spotify too. So this actually, awesome. This audio will be on Spotify as well. So yeah, I have a good deal with that for my all my audios go out to everywhere you get your podcast. So but I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your day or your evening and kind of hang with me and talk about metal, and I really look forward to seeing what you guys are up to in the future, and I want you guys to come back and tell me all about it. You know,
yeah, hopefully it'll be a big summer for Thorns.
Yeah, we're hoping it is. We're crossing our fingers here.
You know, if it is, then that's awesome. I mean, I really am happy for you guys, and I hope that it's sooner than later. You know, and I think a lot of people are really gonna kind of experience a little bit more of your music. I'm going to try to get it out there as much as I can. I'll post it on my page. I'll post it on all my social media and where they can find you as well. And I think that these are, you know, things that are just the starting point. You know what I mean? So.
We appreciate
We appreciate you having us on.
Not some a good problem. Questions. And this
We haven't had a good interview before.
Yeah, this is our first.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, don't talk about
it's I won't even bring it up.
Yeah, it's all right. You know, I've been doing podcasting for a while, and I've got different shows besides this, but yeah, it's, you always have different types of shows, and this, you know, I love doing metal. I love talking with the younger generation. I have to say the younger generation because I'm fucking old, dude. I'm serious. So I have to talk to the younger generation, I guess, because some of these old guys that are probably older than me that are still in metal don't want to talk to me. You know, I was probably one of their fans at one point, you know. So, but yeah. So everybody, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and I want to let everybody know that this will be up in audio file wherever you get your podcast. This will also be up on YouTube, Facebook, and Riverside FM. And I want to thank Riverside FM for broadcasting this as well. So on that note, I will say goodbye. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.